Well, as Randy has already read our text this morning, which comes from Genesis 1:1 all the way through chapter 2, verse 3, and that is a big portion of Scripture. But my hope is that by looking at such a large portion of Scripture, we can step back and see more of a bigger picture view. I want us to see that verse 2 reveals a contrast with the rest of the passage, and I believe that that intentionally displays the transforming power of our great and mighty God. But before we continue, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you that we are able to gather here on this morning to worship and glorify you. Father, I pray that you would send forth your Spirit, that you would work in our hearts, that you would give us understanding, that you would convict us of our sin, that you would show us our need for Jesus, that you would strengthen our faith, and that you would do that through your word today. Father, I desire that the meditations of my heart, the words of my mouth, would be pleasing in your sight. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, over 12 years ago, when Jamie and I were married, we had a picture taken at a reception in front of this gorgeous fountain. And the water in the fountain was crisp, it was clear, it was beautiful. However, not long before, that same water had been sewage water. You see, though you would never know it from our pictures, Jamie and I had our wedding reception at a sewage plant. But it's not quite what it sounds like. You see, this was the city of Vancouver, Washington's water reclamation plant, and they had an education center attached to it with a beautiful ballroom that actually overlooked the Columbia River flowing by, and believe it or not, there was absolutely no foul odor, and the setting was incredibly gorgeous, and that's all because that water had already gone through quite a transformation process. In our passage today, we're going to discover a transformation that was even more radical than changing sewage water into good, clean, usable water. As we begin, if you have your Bibles open, or you can follow along in your bulletins, let's look at verse number 2. Like I said earlier, this verse reveals a contrast with the rest of the passage. And it states, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep." Now these words taken together paint a picture of a place that is dreadfully chaotic. They describe a place that is not only uninhabited, but actually uninhabitable. A place that is completely unsettled and hostile to life. A place that God has not yet called good. But there is also hope. The second part of verse 2 states, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So though the land lies empty, dark, and chaotic, God is there. The Spirit hovers almost eagle-like over the watery, lifeless earth, waiting to go to work. Something was about to happen. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, was ready to transform the chaos into the cosmos, the darkness into the light, the uninhabited into that which is good and holy and blessed. And in the 6 days of creation, God transformed the formlessness and the emptiness into a beautiful creation. In the framework of the passage, basically, in days 1 through 3, God transforms the formlessness into 3 fully formed realms. See, on day 1, he created the realm of day and night. On day 2, he created the realms of sky and sea. And on day 3, he created the realms of land and vegetation. Then in days 4 through 6, he transforms the emptiness by creating rulers and inhabitants for these realms that he's just created. In day 4, he creates the sun and the moon to rule the day and the night. In day 5, he creates birds and fish to rule the sky and the sea. And then on day 6, he creates livestock and wild animals to rule the land and the vegetation. And then also climactically on the 6th day, God also creates mankind in his own image. And the unique position that he gave man was to be ruler of all three realms that God has created. And so in verse 2, we saw that there was unsettled chaos. But by the 7th day, it was transformed into a marvelous creation that was at rest and called very good. God is a transforming God. And God still is a transforming God. And perhaps sitting in here today, you realize that you need a little transformation done in your life yourself. Is there a dark, unsettled chaos that exists perhaps in or maybe even around you? You know, maybe the circumstances that surround you are becoming a little unbearable. Perhaps your home life feels chaotic, unpredictable, insecure. Or perhaps other people's expectations of you are just overwhelming, making you feel like you live in a pressure cooker. Or perhaps you're struggling due to circumstances that surround you at work or for students at school, or maybe just in relationships with friends, maybe even here at church. Or maybe aside from circumstances around you, the dark, unsettled chaos seems to exist right within inside you. Maybe your life feels like it is spinning out of control. Perhaps 2009 was a very difficult year for you. Maybe you've done stuff that you know you shouldn't have done, and now you're struggling with guilt and shame, and it's just eating you up. Perhaps you have no direction, and your life feels meaningless, almost like a desert wasteland. Or perhaps there's a void within you that you just can't seem to fill with anything lasting or satisfying. Maybe there's chaos that exists in or around you. But the good news this morning is that God can break through the darkness in and around you with his wonderful light. And Genesis 1 tells us that because God transformed creation, we are to embrace his transforming power in our own lives. The truth is, apart from God's intervention and transforming power, creation would have been left a dreadfully chaotic place, uninhabited and uninhabitable. And in the same way, our lives and also our circumstances will remain chaotic wastelands apart from God's intervention. But the good news of the gospel, which Genesis 1 points to, is that the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, can triumph and transform the chaos that exists in and around us. And there are three ways in which we can embrace this transforming power of God. And the first, embrace God's transforming power by connecting with his word daily. God's word is the means, it is the vehicle by which God brings transformation. It was by God's Spirit and word that the very creation was transformed. In verse 2, it states that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, just waiting for the command to act. And the word to act came again and again and again. We see God's word speaking in verse 3, verse 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, and 26. 8 times God spoke. 8 times creation was progressively transformed. And 8 times the response to God's word was, "And it was so." It is by his word that God creates and transforms. Therefore, if we are to be transformed by God, we need to connect with his word. And this involves more than just knowing trivia about the Bible. Rather, it involves knowing the God who reveals himself in the Bible. And we can connect with God's word in many ways. One simple way is to hold up your hand. Most of us, I hope, have 5 fingers. And 5 different ways that we can interact and connect with the Word of God. First of all, you can hear it read or hear it preached. In fact, we've all done that this morning. It's happening right now. Number 2, you can read it on your own, whether your own private time or with your families. Number 3, you can dig a little deeper and study His Word. Perhaps take more time, have a commentary, a Bible dictionary, a concordance. Number 4, we can meditate on God's word, which means to think deeply upon it. Take a small portion of scripture and slowly read it. Let it soak into your very bones. And number 5, we can also memorize it. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." However, true connection happens only as the Spirit of God works inwardly on our hearts. It is the Spirit who gives us understanding. It is the Spirit who convicts us of sin. It is the Spirit who shows us our need for Jesus. And it is the Spirit who strengthens our faith. Therefore, in order to connect with the Word of God, we are to approach it rightly. We are to approach it with humble and teachable hearts. We are to approach it with prayer and faith that God actually will give us understanding. And finally, connecting with the Word, we are to know who the Word actually is. And in the beautiful prologue to his gospel, the Apostle John tells us that the Word of God, the Word that transformed creation, is none other than Jesus Christ. In his earthly ministry, Jesus even said to the Jews who persecuted him, he said, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. Well, these are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Therefore, if your life needs transformation, you have to go to Jesus, the Word of God." And so this Christmas season, this Epiphany, how have you responded to Jesus? You simply need to call out to him, believing that he is the only solution to all of your life's chaos. And so not only does Genesis 1 show us that the Word of God transforms, it also shows us that we're to realize that this transformation is a process, but it will come to completion. Though God truly could have transformed creation in an instantaneous moment, he chose to transform creation in the span of 6 days. But by the 7th day, God had completed his work. What he began, he finished. In Genesis 2:3, tells us God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And in the same way, God's transforming work in his people is also a process. It takes time, God's time. So don't be discouraged if you're not growing spiritually as fast as you would like to. It doesn't happen overnight. And truthfully, as believers, we still struggle with sin. Though we are forgiven and declared righteous by faith in Jesus, we do not instantly begin living that actual righteous life in all of our thoughts, in all of our words, and all of our actions. It is a process by which this righteousness is worked out in us in such a way that over time we actually become what we already are. And though this is not a perfect analogy, think of DNA. Someone's DNA remains constant throughout their entire life, whether they're 2, 32, 62, or 102. And so though a tiny baby may have the same DNA he will have as a grown man, he still needs to actually grow up into that man. And in the same way as a believer, you are declared righteous. You are stamped with the righteousness of Christ. And by the transforming power of God, you are enabled more and more to die into sin and to live for righteousness. By the transforming power of God, over time, we actually become what we already are, righteous saints. And just as God completed his work of transforming creation, we have the sure hope that one day he too will complete the work he has begun in you. And you will finally enter into true Sabbath rest at long last. And until then, we are to participate in the Word, in prayer, in sacraments. Through the working of the Spirit, these are the normal means by which God brings transformation to his people. And the third thing I wanted to point out from Genesis chapter 1 this morning is that we are to embrace God's transforming power by engaging our mission. It's important to realize that in Genesis 1, God gave mankind a mission. In theology, we call this the cultural mandate. And after being created in God's image, which held the responsibility of representing and establishing God's will on earth, in verse 28, mankind was commanded to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Therefore, as God's representative, man's original mission was to rule and subdue the whole earth, filling it with more images of God. And this would have been easy, and it would have been natural, except for Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man into sin. And after the fall, the image of God is corrupted in man. And in this fallen state, man can only partially fulfill his original mission. He can still fill the earth with babies, and with much resistance, he can still subdue a now hostile earth, but he cannot rightly establish God's will on earth. And so in the New Testament, after he accomplished our salvation, Jesus redefined for us how we are now to accomplish our mission. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus redefines how to fulfill this mission. And this was our first scripture lesson this morning, which states, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Because of Jesus, we now fulfill the cultural mandate through the Great Commission. We establish God's will on earth by caring for widows and orphans, by loving the poor, by helping the oppressed, by reaching the lost and teaching them the good news of the gospel. So if you're a Christian this morning, you have a mission. Not only is God transforming you inwardly, But God desires to transform the world through you. We are still to subdue and fill the earth with images of God, but we are to do this through prayer and by sharing the good news of the gospel throughout the world. What a privilege that God desires to transform his world through people like you and me. So in conclusion this morning, think back to that fountain. Turning sewage water into good water is quite a transformation. But God has in store for you a transformation that is way more radical than that. If you're not a Christian this morning, realize that because God transformed creation, you can embrace his transforming power. We can do that by connecting with this word, which is Jesus Christ. We do that by realizing it's a process that takes time, but will come to completion one day. And we do that by engaging in our mission. Come to the transformational power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we do love you. We worship you. We are in awe of your awesome power. And we bow before our Savior Jesus, and we ask that you would bring such needed transformation in our lives. And may we pursue you and you alone. Would you remove distractions in our life that get in our way of pursuing you? Would you use your word and your spirit, our prayers, and even your sacrament to bring transformation to us? It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.